From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Patty White with the news on this day in Maine, Wednesday, July 17th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Seven suspects have been indicted for what authorities call a violent crime spree that spanned seven states from Maine to Virginia and targeted more than 50 victims. As Carol Bousquet reports, the Department of Justice says the alleged ringleader was from Maine and was using a Gardner apartment as a base.
The U.S. Department of Justice says 29-year-old Amanda Marie Correa allegedly led the fentanyl robbery gang, a group with at least seven members that would lure men to meetings through a dating site and then drug them with fentanyl and rob them. Pennsylvania U.S. Attorney Gerard Karam said at a press conference last week that four victims from Pennsylvania and New Hampshire died of overdoses.
If a victim refused to ingest the drugs, or the gang believed that the victim was not ingesting drugs quickly enough so that he would pass out, members of the gang would forcibly introduce fentanyl into the victim's bodies.
Gardner Police Chief Todd Pillsbury says he never saw Correa, who has identified herself as being on the lease for the Gardner apartment with alleged fellow gang member Dylan Wilson Small. He also says police have had run-ins with Small and alleged gang members Samuel Jordan and Christine Deanne DiCarlo, all from Maine.
We had been getting some complaints from some neighbors and some issues were going on there that the officers were going up for. So that's how it kind of came on our radar. We were kind of watching it, thinking that there were some activities going on that probably shouldn't be.
Pillsbury says the Department of Justice contacted him about the case in April, and federal agents executed a search warrant on the Gardner apartment April 26th. A federal grand jury has indicted Correa, Small, DiCarlo, Jordan, Robert Andrew Barnes, Shakir Jamont Blackwell, and Shakur Seraphine Brownstein on federal charges, including conspiracy to distribute a controlled substance resulting in death and serious bodily injury, and two counts of distributing fentanyl resulting in death and serious bodily injury. The investigation is ongoing, and more charges are expected. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
Central Maine Power and parent company Avangrid are asking Maine utility regulators to waive a requirement that could affect Avangrid's acquisition by Spanish company Iberdrola. Nick Song has more.
Iberdrola finished acquiring all remaining shares of Avangrid last month. And state law requires that the Maine Public Utility Commission approve any reorganization of a public utility. CMP and Avangrid are asking the commission to waive that approval process, saying it's not a reorganization because Iberdrola already owns 80% of the company. But Maine public advocate Bill Harwood says that's not true, as the buyout would transform the publicly traded Avangrid into a private company, making it exempt from filing certain financial records with the Securities and Exchange Commission.
It is also a source of information for the public, including our office, to learn more about the internal workings of Avangrid. So that will be a loss to our office and to the ratepayers.
The Utilities Commission says it will deliberate in November. Until then, all sides will continue working towards reaching a settlement agreement for the commission to approve. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nick Song.
The city of Bangor has approved a 55-unit dormitory intended for those entering the regional workforce. The development would offer single occupancy rooms with shared kitchen, bathroom, and common spaces. About a dozen units would be set aside for tenants who need a room for less than a month. Under new city regulations, the developer would need to secure short-term rental licenses for those rooms. Development consultant Sean Thies says the rooms are designed for workers just getting their start or moving into the area.
It's meant for whether it's transient workers, traveling nurses, things like that, or contractors or people that just maybe can't afford. Like we've just had a presentation on high rents and things like that, so people that are trying to work their way up to be able to afford more traditional type apartment or home.
The city of Bangor is conducting a new housing needs assessment. Initial data show that the city lacks about 1,900 rental units for those earning $35,000 a year or less. The town office in Wilton has been closed this week due to a flea infestation. Town manager Maria Greeley says she was notified by the town's cleaning company over the weekend that fleas had been discovered. She says bug foggers activated on Monday and Tuesday did not fully eradicate the fleas.
Today seemed to, be a lot better than they were first thing on Monday. And, you know, we are doing everything that we can. We understand how difficult it is for residents if the town office is closed.
Greeley says she doesn't know when the office will reopen. A pest company was scheduled for Wednesday afternoon. She says the source of the fleas is unknown. A demonstration of how to restore eroded sand dunes using discarded Christmas trees is showing some success at Popham Beach State Park. More than 500 donated trees were laid out in rows in an attempt to trap blowing sand and rebuild dunes wiped away in back-to-back storms this winter. Peter McGuire reports.
Maine borrowed the tree technique from other states to see if nature-based solutions can help recover dunes and protect the park's bathhouse and parking lot. The Maine Geological Survey's Peter Slavinsky says beach erosion isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it becomes a problem when human infrastructure is put at risk.
You know, we can't just go in and build a seawall here. That's not allowed in the dune system in Maine. So we have to try to capture nature's natural functionality in terms of kind of rebuilding these systems.
Slavinsky says so far the trees have captured some sand, creating ridges colonized by dune grass. But a course shift of a nearby river has blocked more sand from blowing into the tree rows. If the demonstration projects at Popham and Willard Beach in South Portland show success, the method could be adapted for beach restoration in other communities. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
Sensitive headwaters of three Downey's Maine rivers will be preserved under a new forest conservation agreement. A 5,000-acre easement will protect the shoreline of Eagle Lake and Hancock County from future development and ensure public access, according to the Forest Society of Maine. The parcel protects forest and freshwater resources that provide healthy connections to the ocean and boost the amount of greenhouse gas storage in the forest, says Society President Karen Tilburg.
And so keeping these ecosystems intact is very important for Maine, very important for fish and wildlife, for water quality, and for climate control.
The permanent easement was accepted by landowners that will continue to use the land for sustainable forestry. A new online tool that's designed to predict future problematic invasive insects has been created with the help of an entomologist at the University of Maine. Assistant Professor Angela Meck helped lead a team from across the country in developing the iTree Pest Predictor tool. Most invasive insects don't cause damage, says Meck, and the Pest Predictor tool uses data about tree and insect traits and how they interact to determine which ones could pose problems.
You know, as soon as we have a new species that we find, we all kind of hold our breath while we wait to see if it's going to be bad or not. And this could help with that.
Max says the tool took 7 years to develop. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, the challenges affecting rural youth. I'm Patty White. Thanks for listening.